Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. Let's listen to the word of God. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. May God bless to our understanding this reading and hearing of the most holy word. So does anybody remember Irma Bombeck? Oh, yes. I remember watching her on Good Morning America when I was a teenager. She had a true gift of finding the humor in the day-to-day life of suburban America. She wrote more than 4,000 newspaper columns and published like 15 books. And one of her books has what I think may just be the best title of any book ever. The grass is always greener over the septic tank, right? Amazon.com described it as the expose to end all exposés, the truth about suburbia life. Some of her other books include If Life is a Bowl of Cherries, What Am I Doing in the Pits? And Family, The Ties That Bind and Gag. All right, anyway, Irma Bombeck once wrote a piece in which she claimed that every mother has a favorite child. Now, I gotta confess that makes me cringe a little bit, because parents aren't supposed to play favorite, right? Well, it may come as a shock to hear that God has a favorite. That's especially shocking when you consider what that great giant of the faith, Simon Peter, said in the passage we just read. I clearly understand now that God shows no partiality. I said, but before you turn me out, please hear me when I say that I don't think I mean quite what you think I mean when I say God has a favorite. And that's what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes. Before we go on, let's take a moment and pray together. Let's pray. Our great and our mighty God, show us what you mean when you say that you show no partiality. Help us to know that and to live it, whatever that might mean for us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's some of what Irma Bombeck wrote. Every mother has a favorite child. She can't help it. She's only human. I have mine. The child for which I feel a special connection, with whom I share a love that no one else could ever understand. My favorite child is the one who was too sick to eat ice cream at his birthday party, who got measles for Christmas, who wore a leg brace to bed because he towed in whose arms who was in my arms in the emergency room. My favorite child had to miss Christmas with the family, was stranded after the game with a gas tank on E, completely messed up the piano recital, misspelled committee at the spelling bee. My favorite child is the one I punished for lying, grounded for being insensitive to other people's feelings, and informed was a complete pain to the rest of the family. My favorite child slammed doors in frustration, would not talk to me when she withdrew, always needed a haircut, had hair that wouldn't curl, had no date for Saturday night, and a car that needed $600 to fix. My favorite child was selfish, immature, bad-tempered, and self-centered. My favorite child was vulnerable, lonely, unsure of his place in the world, and wonderfully great. Every mother has a favorite child, and it's always the same one, the one who needs you at the moment, who needs you for whatever reason to cling to shout at, to hurt, to hug, to flatter, to reverse charges to, for those of you who remember those days, to unload on, but mostly just to be there. Every mother has a favorite child. Does that favorite child remind you of anyone you know? Someone who might be God's favorite? God has a favorite, and God's favorite is you. In 1 John, the Bible says, God has this kind of love for us. We can be called children of God. That's who we are. God shows no partiality because God is partial to every single one of us. Now, before you get a big head, that does not give you license to just go out and do whatever it is you want to do at any given moment. It doesn't give you a license to be whatever it is you might think you want to be. In fact, L. Susan Bond is an assistant professor at Vanderbilt Seminary, and she says that every religious community is tempted to use their self-understandings as tokens of moral superiority to define insiders and outsiders, those who belong and those who don't belong. It's true for all communities, liberal and conservative communities alike. And so, there are some things going on in the Bible passage we shared right at the beginning of the sermon this morning that can help us get a firmer grasp on what it means to truly be a favored child of God. And so just a little bit of context, because many of you understand how important I think establishing the context of any specific Bible passage is. So some of the context. The passage we read is actually the summary of a sermon that the Apostle Peter preached to the household of a Gentile Roman army commander named Cornelius. Okay, but to understand the wider context of this part of Acts, you really need to go all the way back to the very beginning of that book in the Bible. That's where Jesus and his friends are all standing around, and Jesus is about to go up into heaven, and he tells his friends, you are going to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. Well, the first nine chapters of the book of Acts are about how the Holy Spirit empowered Jesus, friends, to share the gospel with people who in Jerusalem, people in Judea, and people in Samaria. That ends of the earth part of Jesus' instruction starts right here in Acts chapter 10. To put this part of the Bible in an even broader context, we can go even back farther to the passage from Isaiah that Jacqueline read earlier in the service. Okay, this is a part of the prophecy that is one of four servant songs in the book of Isaiah. Okay, and it talks about this servant that is chosen by God and in whom God delights. And most of us Christians often associate this servant song with Jesus, right? Because there's a lot about Isaiah's servant that matches a lot of who Jesus is and what Jesus did. All right. But for the ancient Hebrews who lived centuries before Jesus was ever born, they had a different perspective. Okay. Because the ancient Hebrew people believed that Isaiah's servant was actually the nation of Israel as a whole. They believed they were the ones who were chosen and precious of God. They were the ones who had been called to fulfill this divine purpose. And in a lot of ways, they were right, because God did take the people of Israel and set them apart as a holy nation. All right, God took them by the hand, led them out of slavery, and made them a covenant people. The thing is that as time passed, they started to forget about their holy purpose of being appointed to be a light to the nations. And so by the time Jesus was born, most people in Israel believed that they had this sort of exclusive right to God. They were the ones who were chosen and precious. They were the ones who had been given this special blessing, and everybody else had been left out. But then on that first Christmas night, we just came through Christmas, right? You remember how the angel of the Lord appeared to some shepherds outside Bethlehem and said, you know, I've got some really great news for everybody, for all people, not just a few, but for the whole world. Messiah is born. And then there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, the whole earth. So fast forward to Acts chapter 10. The Apostle Peter is preaching to a bunch of folks who are not Israelites. Acts describes Cornelius as a God-fearer, but he's not Jewish. And none of the people in the house are Jewish. At that time in history, all Christians, everybody who followed Jesus, was a Jew. And many of them believed that in order to follow Jesus, you first had to be Jewish. You had to adhere to the Jewish law. You had to observe Jewish rituals. You had to obey Jewish dietary laws. You had to be on the inside. You had to belong. Here in Acts chapter 10, God has dispelled all those assumptions. Clearly, to paraphrase Simon Peter, I understand that God accepts anyone who fears God and does what is right. Now, we've talked before about what it means to fear God. It's not always shaking in your shoes, not able to do anything. Fearing God has more to do with reverence and awe, with respect and admiration, knowing the reality of the one who is above and beyond everything else. Acts talks about what it means to do right when it describes the kind of person Cornelius was. Cornelius was devout. He was generous. He prayed constantly. And so Simon Peter preached the good news of Jesus Christ to a household of people who were not Jewish, and they listened to him. And as they listened, the Holy Spirit of Pentecost was poured upon them, and they believed, and they were all baptized in the name of Jesus. So what does any of that have to do with any of us here this morning? Well, above and beyond anything else, that means that all of us, no matter who you are or where you come from, no matter where you've been or what you've done, every single one of us has access to the same love, the same power, the same strength, the same stability that was poured out upon Cornelius' household long, long ago. The risen Lord Jesus is for everybody. So there's an old story that was attributed to Tony Campolo, the Christian author. It's about a pastor who lived in Manhattan. And every morning, he would go to this same downtown diner for breakfast. And he would always see the same crowd in that diner. And so one morning, this pastor decided to introduce himself. And then he encouraged all the other customers to introduce themselves to one another. He was hoping to establish a friendlier kind of atmosphere. And by and large, it worked. It worked for just about everybody except for the owner. And the only thing the owner of this diner would say about himself was that his name was Harry. Well, over the next few weeks, they started to become really close friends, and the pastor kept pressing Harry to tell more about himself. Well, finally one day, Harry announced that his real name was Hazim, and he was an Arab from Baghdad, Iraq. When he made his announcements, the crowd just kind of froze, because most of them were Jewish. And at the time, tensions between Arabs and Jews were at an all-time high. Well, the very next morning, this pastor learned that overnight, the United States had started to bomb Baghdad. And so he ran to the subway. He wanted to get to the restaurant before Harry had a chance to open, because he wanted to express his friendship and support. But when he rounded the corner, there was this huge mob of Harry's regular customers all standing on the sidewalk in front of the diner waiting for Harry to get there. And when he arrived, they all surrounded him with hugs and words of support. They had a prayer together, and then Harry said, "You know, from now on, you're still going to have to pay for the donuts, but the coffee's free." You see, friends, we're all in this together. And together, we have been given this wonderful gift of being able to accept our status as favored children of God. We have all been created in the image and likeness of the great and almighty God. And because Jesus lived and was baptized and taught and gave his life and was raised from the dead and ascended into heaven and now reigns on high, this free gift of this thing we call grace has been poured out upon us all. And we can take our place in the family of God. And that is the good news. The question is, do you trust it? And if you do, what's next? Let's pray. Great and mighty God, thank you so much for watching over us, for keeping us safe, and for welcoming us into your holy family, and for thinking so much of us. Be with us and help us to know just exactly who we are, and help us to share your love with everyone we can. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.